broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And a wild night it's been, man, with Dean Wheeler last hour talking about the lack of, frankly, the lack of patriotism and the assault on the person of the president because he lost 40,000 Twitter followers. And then, of course, we had Steve Bozell and the ongoing nightmare that is his life. His daughter took a recording, a voice recording, if you will, what do you call that, man? It's not exactly, I'll call, leave a message with your, Anyway, she took her father's message, which was what he called a butt dial. He made a mistake, called his daughter, and he was singing Feels Like a Woman by Shania Twain. So his life just continues to spiral out of control. If you want to listen to the podcast of tonight's show, you can do it by going over to philhendryshow.com, getting a backstage pass, and you can hear our podcast of each and every show there, as well as see a live streaming video of every show. We have a 5-day video archive, but we have an infinite audio archive. It goes back, it goes way back to before the beginning of time.
Well, like when God made the earth?
All the way back to when God made the earth, yeah.
You were doing your show then?
Maybe I was. But I don't want to say there's any. Just go and look and see, and you'll know what we're talking about. 877, don't give me the look, Robert, okay?
Well, I mean, you're talking about you'll still go back to when God was made?
What do you mean when God was made? I'm fooling around, man. I'm just trying to say, I'm just trying to say that the show goes back a long way in the archives. Anyway.
Yeah, when God was made, I don't know what he was saying.
All right, well, now you do. Warren Jeffs defends polygamy during an outburst at a sexual assault trial. Now, here's a guy, Warren Jeffs, 55 years of age, photographed, so there's no mistaking it. There's a photograph of the guy holding an underage girl and kissing her on the lips. So we know what this guy is all about. Now, I suppose when you are just nothing more than walking garbage and there's not too far down to go before you hit bottom, the only thing you can do is stand there and say, hey, wait a second, you got me all wrong. Here is why I'm just fantastic. Now, the polygamist sect leader defending himself against sexual assault charges broke his silence on Friday with a 55-minute sermon defending plural marriage as divine and later said God would visit sickness and death on those involved in his trial. And it was not immediately stopped, the sermon. This is what I'm saying. Would visit sickness and death on those if his trial wasn't immediately stopped. I'm sorry, I thought that this had something to do with the sermon. But how was he able to deliver a 55-minute sermon anyway?
You probably got on a stand and they were asking him questions and stuff.
Jeffs, age 55, could face life in prison if he's convicted of sexually assaulting two underage girls. He's been representing himself since he fired his high-powered lawyers Thursday, which is a classic move by a psychopath. But he made no opening statement and spent hours sitting alone at the defense table, staring into space in silence while prosecutors made their case. He's probably waiting for God to talk to him. He's probably waiting for God to say, here it is. This is what you do. I'm going to give you the game plan. It's going to kick everybody's ass, and I will lead you out of Egypt, baby. On Friday, however, the ecclesiastical head of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints suddenly cried, I object! As FBI agent John Broadway testified about seizing 8 desktop computers and 120 boxes and large folders of documents from the church's remote compound in West Texas in 2008. Jeff said, there is sacred trust given to religious leadership not to be touched by government agencies. He leads an offshoot of mainstream Mormonism that believes polygamy brings exaltation in heaven. The sect's 10,000 members see Jeffs as a prophet who speaks for God on earth. Jeffs then launched into a lengthy defense of polygamy, but Walther eventually overruled his objection. She said court rules prohibited him from testifying while objecting, but she let him go on at length approximately 55 minutes because he hadn't offered an opening statement. So the judge is giving him all the leeway in the world. And they often say that if someone is representing themselves and you're the opposing, you're the prosecuting attorney, you don't ever want to make it look like you're making fun of the guy or you're bullying the person. You don't want to make it look like you're going to run roughshod over them. You want to give them all the time they want to make an ass out of themselves. And that is the strategy, and it oftentimes works because everybody gets a big fat noseful of what these clowns are about. And I say clown, you know, with all due respect, but most of them are clowns. Now, Warren Jeffs then launched into this lengthy defense of polygamy. He said he had no choice but to read a statement from God. Walther dismissed the jury and allowed him to read it. I, the Lord God of heaven, call upon the court to cease this open prosecution against my pure holy way. If the trial continues, the statement said, I will send a scourge upon the counties of prosecutorial zeal to make humbled by sickness and death. Jeffs has frequently said the charges against him are the work of overzealous prosecutors. Walther responded to the statements by telling Jeffs he could not threaten the jury. If you call for their destruction or in any way say they will be injured or damaged because of their service, you'll be removed from the courtroom. So you can't threaten the jury, even if you're a prophet of God. How about that? See, it's funny how laws work. It's funny how the secular, you do whatever you want. You have any religion you want, but you cannot threaten it. Well, God said, well, it's fine, whatever God said, but you can't do it here. You understand? Why, you're making a mockery of the entire, maybe. During afternoon testimony from Broadway and other witnesses who detailed documents seized from the FDLS compound, Jeffs objected so much that Walther eventually had a bailiff remove his microphone. It was a sharp contrast to his earlier silence and halting speech. When answering questions from Walther earlier in the week, Jeffs usually paused for a full minute or two and then spoke in slow, deliberate tones interrupted by long, awkward pauses. In other words, he's gone. He's mentally, he's just either that or he's got some strategy where he's going to be as much of a pain in the ass as he possibly can be. But his words flowed freely on Friday. Jeffs, who is scheduled for trial on bigamy charges in October, said his church has practiced polygamy for five generations and believes it is the will of God, who is the higher power than courts. No, he's not. State legislatures, no, he's not. And the U.S. Congress, no, he's not. You see? No, he ain't. And the proof is the fact that Warren Jeffs is on trial right now, and he's going to go to jail, and he's going to rot in jail, and that'll be the end of that. And God will not free him. God will not visit a scourge unless there's some mental defective who is a follower of Warren Jeffs, and there are probably plenty of those, who decides that he'll be the right arm of God. He will be the avenging angel, and then we have to deal with those jackasses. We are not a fly-by-night religious society. We're a community of faith and principles, and those principles are sacred, he said. They belong to God, not to man, and the government of man, Jeff said. And it just so happens that they allow me to marry 14-year-old girls. So sue me. He also noted that polygamy is not of a sudden happening. It is of a tradition in our lives. And how can we just throw it away and say God has not spoken? Yeah, you're right, Warren. You're right. And while we're on the subject, why not just make the ages of these women a little bit younger and a little bit younger? You know, polygamy's been around for a long time. Wow, look at this. She's 11. How'd we get all the way down to that age? You know, it happens. Jeff said FLDS members believe adhering to God's will, as stated by prophets like, well, say himself, is the only way to achieve eternal life in Zion. We do not seek your salvation, Jeffs told Walther and jurors, who watched and listened intently but made no visible reaction to his words. The judge turned down his repeated plea for a separate hearing on freedom of religion. Jeff said Texas authorities had unfairly persecuted the FLDS just because its members are different from those of mainstream religion and that they like to marry girls and have sex with underage children. Other than that, what the hell's wrong with them? Women in the sect wear prairie-style dresses and keep their hair tied up in tight bums, tight bums they ain't got, and it conjures images of frontier times, and also, speaking of mental defectives, what you may see on the perimeter fence on any given day while you're having your lunch across the street. There they are again, Bill. We are decried for how we dress, how we go about our labors in a common society. The government of the United States had no right to infringe on the religious freedom of a peaceful people who happen to be taking advantage of children and having sex with them and being photographed. You know, you have got to be in a twilight zone, man. This guy is about as vile as this cat is standing there, he's no better than that NAMBLA stuff. You know those pieces of garbage that want to have sex with boys? You know them, right?
Oh, what's that?
It's a group of perverts, okay? That's what this guy is. You're no better than that, pal. How do you feel? I don't care if the women are wearing buns on top of their heads, if they've got tight bums, if they wear prairie dresses or they wear a prairie dog hat. I don't care if they're cowgirls or cowboys or if they're just Chinese coolies, man, trying to make a living in a cold and heartless world. You're just a pervert, man. That's all you are. Just because you go out to the Salvation Army and find yourself something that they wore on Little House on the Prairie or the Waltons and decide to do your hair up like a cross between maybe a early Katharine Hepburn and something that, Grandma and the Beverly Hillbillies wore, that don't mean you're religious. That just means you're nuts. You know, we often speak of religious nuts, and we say that in a disparaging way. We shouldn't say that. I think that people, if they're not harming anyone, I don't think you should throw that term around. I think that someone who is out of their mind demonstrates that. If you're having sex with children and you're dressing up in a prairie dress and you walk around wearing that, you're walking around in overalls calling yourself a prophet, you're out of your mind. I mean, not legally, but at the end of his speech, lead prosecutor Eric Nichols Rosen said the Supreme Court ruled in the 1890s that religious freedom does not extend to polygamy. The FLDS made headlines nationwide in 2008 when authorities raided its compound in tidy El Dorado, 45 miles from San Angelo, Tejas, after hearing allegations that young girls were being forced into polygamous marriages. More than 400 children were seized temporarily but eventually returned to their families. Still, Jeffs and 11 other FLDS men were charged with crimes including sexual assault and bigamy. All seven sect members prosecuted so far have been convicted and have been given prison terms of between 6 and 75 years. Now, I don't give a damn if the guy's a bigamist. Here, the thing that is most disturbing is the sexual assault, is the basically the slavery, the enslavement of children for sexual purposes. That's what this guy preaches, see? And that's why this guy is dangerous. And like I said, he can dress himself up all he wants. He can put on a Federation of Planets captain's uniform and tell Scotty to, divert all power. You can do anything you want, man. You can imagine yourself a Klingon, but you can't sexually assault kids. I don't give a damn if it's religion or not. That's just where it's at in America. All right, coming back, a man has himself shot to win sympathy from his ex. Did it work? We'll find out. He had himself shot, all right, to see if his ex would be sympathetic to him. Did it work? It might have. We'll talk about it when we come back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know. If you're watching the Phil TV and HD feed tonight, I went over to the Google page showing you the hand of this young man who is a man who was fired by the TSA. He is a one-handed, a former prize fighter. And his name is Michael Constantino. He's 32 years of age. You can see I pulled up pictures of the hand, obviously. He's a lefty. And the right hand, which obviously he was born with that right, the sort of stunted right hand. Here he is as a fighter. This is just a picture of him. It looks like he's in a sparring session. Michael Constantino, former boxer. Anyway, the former boxer is now fighting to knock out a federal ruling that he can't work as an airport screener because he was born with only one hand. Michael Constantino insists he's perfectly capable of working as a screener for the Transportation and Security Administration. Anyone that knows me knows it's ridiculous for them to say I can't open luggage, Constantino told the Daily News. I fought in the Golden Gloves. I work out with former world champions. Opening luggage would be pretty easy for me. After a medical examination, the TSA determined Constantino couldn't perform the job safely or efficiently. The TSA never allowed Constantino to prove he could perform the tests necessary to be an airport screener. That, according to this article in the New York Daily News. So the New York Daily News is saying they never allowed him to try to accomplish these tasks. That's what they're saying. I don't know. They're not citing any source. Constantino of Whitestone, New York, has filed a formal complaint with the TSA. His lawyer, Jonathan Bell, is confident the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission will reverse the TSA's decision and order the agency to pay for lost wages. Well, doesn't he have to first pass some kind of a physical proficiency test? I got nothing against the kid. Don't get me wrong, folks. But we live in a day and age where we're talking about the TSA being the biggest pack of stumble bums ever to wander an airport. I mean, everybody got nothing but bad things to say about them and how they ain't doing this, they're not doing that, they don't do the job right here, they don't do the job right there, they screw up every which way, and now they're going to hire a guy with one hand. Now, I got nothing against the guy with one hand if he could do the job. But they did, according to this story, they didn't even give the guy the test to see whether he could do the job or not. And if he can't, he can't. They just made an assumption that he can't perform this job simply because he doesn't have a right hand without any evidence to support it. All right. That's fair enough. I agree with that. The federal government is supposed to be a model employer, and this is what they do? It's a disgrace. Constantino applied online for a transportation security officer position about 2 years ago after he lost his job as a deli manager. It sounded like a good job with benefits, Constantino said. After applying for the TSA job, Constantino passed an online exam and he cleared a background check. In an interview with two officials about 7 months ago, Constantino's disability was never brought up. Not once was he asked about his missing right hand or any limitations it might cause him. Constantino walked out of the interview thinking he'd landed the job. All that stood in his way, he believed, was a routine medical exam. But shortly after the exam, Constantino received an email from the TSA informing him of his medical disqualification because of the loss of his right hand. You can't really say he lost his right hand because he never really had one, you know.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? He never had a right hand. How did he lose it?
Well, I mean, you're supposed to have a right hand.
Yeah.
You got to have a right. If you don't have a right hand, you must have lost it somewhere.
Maybe it never developed, is what I'm saying, so he never had a right hand to lose. He was born like that, is the point that I'm trying to make here, okay? Anyway, it was a tough time, he said. I was very much depressed. In the February email, the agency argued he couldn't properly conduct pat-down searches using his palms or the backs of his hands. They said he couldn't open zippers or snaps, record baggage tag information and logs, or use his hands to detect prohibited items. He can't inspect lockets, pillboxes, or medication, the agency's contracted doctor said. The TSA suggested Constantino might still qualify for other positions within the agency or other federal jobs. Constantino, who started sparring 10 years ago, once won Boxer of the Night honors at the Golden Gloves. He pummeled his first foe at the Daily News-sponsored tournament in 2002. He went 2-3 in the 178-pound weight class before walking away from the ring. Now he feels he's fighting for everyone else with a disability. I'm going to keep going so this doesn't happen again, said Constantino, who has recently resumed training. It's wrong what they did, and they should learn from their mistakes. Here is Mr. Constantino. We have some audio of him, as a matter of fact, don't we, Bud?
Yeah, get that one clip.
All right, let me hear this one. This is Mr. Constantino, and he is talking here to ABC News about the alleged discrimination he faces at the hands of the TSA.
Everyone faces it in their whole life, but I definitely faced it. You know, a lot of people like to assume things. They said I couldn't or wasn't capable of opening luggage, zippers, performing a pat down in a properly fashion. But these were everything that they stated in the letter. I never had to do with to take during the test.
So they never tested him. They never asked him. Well, let's see. You got, you know, one hand, but let's see what you can do. You know, they never actually gave him that opportunity. It doesn't seem. See, here's the thing. You know, if we've learned one thing in the past, oh, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, if there's one thing we've learned ever since the big economic meltdown, quote unquote, it's that we need really good people. I mean, we need good people. No matter what the job, the profession, we need professionals. We need dedicated, really hardworking, really inventive, really creative people that go the extra mile. We really need them. I don't know where we're going to get them, but if the guy's got one hand, great. If he's got one leg, great. You know, so the least they can do, if he can't do the job, he can't do the job. I get that. But don't just blow the guy off because, well, he's only got one hand. I mean, you know, give him the test and see what the hell he can do. That's my point. I don't know.
Yeah, but what's he going to do with one hand?
I don't know what he's going to do with one hand, man. You know.
The guy can't do no pat down. You do a pat down with one hand, you're going to be patting. It'd be like a stump down.
Yeah. What about the stump down? What do you mean a stump down? You mean a pat down? You know something? You guys trying to be funny or something?
Phil Hendry.
He's going to do a stump down, okay?
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. If that is of any interest to anybody, we know what we're talking about here. We rarely get things wrong, but then we rarely get things, you know. The stuff we get, we don't get wrong. How about that? Here's one. Now, this may work, it may not. I don't know. I haven't read the full story. I, like you, will discover this in increments. I will, with you, take a little bit of a journey here. We're going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I apologize for that, but we have to. I'm kidding. I'm sure it's a great town. I actually went to Milwaukee once. I went there with the Miami Dolphins when they played the Green Bay Packers, and we had one hell of a good time. Drank beer, ate that slop that they eat. You know,
what?
What is it, that bratwurst stuff?
Oh, man.
You know, it wasn't bad. And then some drunk was in a bar getting out of hand, and somebody said, must be down from Titletown. And that was great. That's what they call Green Bay up there. So anyway, let's go to Milwaukee now, and let's find out whether this is actually something that a sane man would do or someone who needs hospitalization and a lot of drugs. When Jordan Cardella's girlfriend broke up with him, he figured his best shot at getting her back was literally to be shot. So he asked his friends to shoot him, and one did exactly that. Seeing him in pain certainly would cause the young woman to have a change of heart and take him back, right? Wrong. Not even close. The ex-girlfriend did not come to visit the 20-year-old South Milwaukee man in the hospital as he had hoped. Police, however, did stop by. So instead of seeing his beautiful ex-girlfriend, he saw some big, ugly cop standing there. Nice move, pal.
Hey. Great idea.
Good job. Anyway, at a sentencing hearing for the shooter this month... He's asked one of his friends to shoot him. Now the guy is in court. At a sentencing hearing for the shooter this month, Milwaukee County Assistant District Attorney Christopher Rothshorn said he meant no disrespect, but, quote, this has to be the most phenomenally stupid case that I've seen. It's unbelievable what happened here. Michael C. Wazik, the friend who did the shooting, and his lawyer didn't disagree. I mean, sorry to bring something so stupid into your courtroom, Wazik, 24, of Cudahy, told Circuit Judge Rebecca Dallet. Wazik pled guilty to a reduced charge of injury by negligent use of a dangerous weapon, which is a felony. The judge sentenced him to 2 years probation and 100 hours of community service, and at a separate hearing this month gave the same sentence to Anthony D. Woodall, age 20, of South Milwaukee, a friend of Cardella who helped convince Wazik to become involved. Woodall was convicted of the same felony as a party to a crime. If they both complete probation successfully, the court will consider a motion to expunge this offense from their records. Now, Cardella is the jackass that got shot, and so far he's gotten off the easiest, if you don't count pain and suffering. Initially, he was charged with obstructing police by lying about what happened, but that charge was dismissed. There's a notation in the court file that the state planned to reissue a felony charge of some kind against him, but the DA's office said Tuesday that's unlikely to happen. I would, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, he got his friends in trouble, you know.
Well, he got his friends in trouble. Now, I don't know if it was his idea. I guess it was his idea, but the fact is, he was the guy, he was a party to this thing. He was a party to this crime. He was a willing participant in the commission of a crime. So his being shot was a part of the planning and the commission of this crime. Why is this guy getting to walk? I don't understand, but I'm sure there's a good reason. I'm not here to second guess the judge. The criminal complaint and sentencing transcript tell the story. It begins in January, when Cardella shared his pain with Woodall. They would make it look like Cardella was attacked by some bad guys. Woodall would call the ex-girlfriend and tell her Cardella had been shot, which was supposed to make her feel sorry for him. Cardella, a felon, didn't want to shoot himself because felons aren't supposed to handle firearms. By the way, a felon, and he's getting involved. Do you need any other proof that people who are in jail, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of geniuses in jail because they know how to plan a bank robbery, or they figured out how to bust out of Alcatraz, or whatever groovy thing it was. They're still idiots. Nobody, but nobody with any brains, wants to risk spending the rest of their life in a cage. Unless it's for something that's really, really, you know, I mean, it's something that's really worth it, and I just knocking over like a jewelry store, it doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, Cardella, a felon, didn't want to shoot himself because felons aren't supposed to handle firearms. Woodall refused. Wait a minute, man. If you shoot yourself, you can still say somebody else did it. Well, maybe not. Anyway, Woodall refused to do the shooting, but he called Wasik and asked him to do it in exchange for payment in money or pain pills.
So these guys are pill heads.
Yes, they're pill heads. Everybody, yes, that's exactly right, bud. Good call. They're pill heads.
Yeah, figures.
Right. Everybody piled into a car. They drove to a bar in search of a firearm, but eventually went back to Wasik's residence, where Wasik retrieved, a rifle. They drove around for a while to find a place to shoot Cardella and eventually decided at the location of Beach Street at the Oak Creek Parkway in South Milwaukee. Wasik stood 7 to 8 feet from Cardella and asked if he was sure he wanted to be shot. Cardella said he was and asked Wasik to shoot him in the back 3 times. Oh, this guy's gone. This guy's a... No wonder she doesn't want to see you. You're out of your mind. Yeah, shoot me in the back 3 times, man. I want to make it look good. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure, man. Do it. God, didn't you hear what I said? Dude, I'm shooting you with a gun in the back. Yeah, 3 times in the back. That's going to look really good, you know? And as soon as she hears about it, I'll tell you, you know, this is the best idea you've ever had. Go ahead. So you want me to shoot you just one? No, you got to do it 3 times, man. It's not going to look good if you only do it 1 time. Are you thinking about the pain that, yeah, I know it's going to hurt, man. Like, it's the first time I've been shot? Come on. I've been shot 1,000,000 times, man. It's not going to hurt me. Okay. Cardella said he was ready, and he asked Wasik to shoot him in the back 3 times. Cardella also talked about wanting to be shot in the chest. Hey, you know something else? Why don't you shoot me in the chest, too? Wait a minute, man. I shot you 3. No. If you shoot me in the back 3 times, that's cool. Okay, that's good. But then also shoot me in the chest, because you know what that'll look like? It'll look like I chased you. Like, oh, wow, you shot me. Now I'm coming after you. Now you shoot me in the chest, too. So I want you to shoot me 3 times in the back and then once in the chest. How about in the head, too? Yeah, that's good, too. Cardella said he was and asked Wasik to shoot him in the back 3 times, and then he asked him to shoot him in the chest. The complaint says Wasik then shot Cardella in the arm, and Cardella immediately slumped over. He asked to be shot again, but Wasik stated, "I'm done." What the hell? Hey, I thought you wanted to be shot. No, I'm done, man. I'm done, too. Wait a minute. He wanted it 3 times in the back. No, I just, like, all I did was shoot you in the arm. Yeah, I'm done. This guy wanted to be shot 4 times, 3 times in the back, and then shoot him in the chest, too. He gets shot once in the arm, and he slumps over. Wasik took the rifle home, and Cardella and Woodall headed for Aurora Street. They headed to Aurora Street Luke South Shore Hospital for treatment and to watch their story unravel. Prosecutor Rothshorn told the judge there was one more thing. While awaiting the outcome of this case, Woodall and Wasik went to deliver marijuana to someone, but it turned out to be grass clippings and or catnip. The victim complained to police. Judge Dallet told Wasik at sentencing that he was lucky Cardella didn't die. She recalled another case in her courtroom involving a guy shot in the arm. The bullet then traveled on right through his heart. "What were you thinking?" she asked Wasik. "I wasn't," he replied. Now, that's the thing about if you ever want to be shot, and I say that because there was a performance artist who actually had himself shot, but that was performance art, so I guess that's sane. These guys would have been better if they would have said it was all performance art, Your Honor, and that was part of the script. Okay, so in other words, you want to be shot 3 times in the back, once in the chest, you get shot in the arm, you slump over. This is to impress a girl. Yeah, but it's all a script. See, it's all... Meanwhile, there's nothing here about the woman, but apparently she wasn't impressed. She didn't even go to the hospital. And why was she? This guy sounds like he's gone, like there's something definitely wrong with him. He shot him once in the arm and he slumped over. But he asked to be shot again.
What do you mean, man? Why'd he slump over?
He slumped over because it probably hurt like a son of a gun. He probably slumped over because then he says, shoot me again, you know. Because his girlfriend's going to feel sorry for him. Now, if you shoot somebody and you shoot them, let's say, in the arm, or you shoot them like in the fatty part of the upper thigh, you know, like the fattest part, the thickest, most muscular and fatty part of the body, like that upper thigh, and you shoot them, like the guy asked you to shoot him or something, I don't know, like the girlfriend, and that bullet hits bone or it comes apart, it can go in a lot of different directions. It doesn't mean you just shot that guy in the leg and everything's groovy, like in the movies, you know, like, oh, well, I got shot in the leg. That bullet can come apart, it can hit bone, it can hit other, it can hit arteries, it can travel up into the groin, you know, so, and the judge wasn't wrong. She said when she had that one case, the guy got shot in the arm, but then, of course, it went right through the arm and went into the chest and went into the guy's heart. So let that be a lesson to you, bud, if you ever wanted to be shot to make Vivian jealous.
I'm not going to do that. Why would I bet that's stupid? I'm going to do that.
Well, I just thought, you know.
Yeah, just in case, man. Yeah, okay.
Just in case you want to make her jealous, you don't have yourself shot. And if you do, don't have me or Bud, me or Robert do it because we're liable to screw it up. The other thing that, speaking of being shot for money, Casey Anthony, she may try that because, you know, Larry Flint offered her $500,000 to pose in Hustler. Now, I'm going to say something here that is going to be upsetting to some people, but I have to admit that it's bad. It's really bad. I would want to buy that Hustler, but then I'd think about it because I'd think about how people would be disappointed in me, and I would think about how I'm contributing to enriching this woman, but I wouldn't buy it. I would just look over a guy's shoulder, you know.
Well, that ain't no difference, man. Why would you do that?
I'm kidding around, okay? Although, you know.
Yeah, but you'd still want to look.
Yes, I'd want to look. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Casey Anthony was offered $500,000 by Larry Flint. Her lawyer says it's a load. They said it's nonsense. If Larry Flint has his way, Casey Anthony could reintroduce herself nude to America on the pages of Hustler magazine and make well over $500,000 in the process. The pornography magnate told Nancy Grace on Thursday night, the talks are ongoing that could land Anthony on the pages of his magazine. This is just weeks after a Florida jury acquitted her of murder in her 2-year-old daughter Kaylee's death. Anthony Camp dismissed the report as nonsense. Flint insisted he was serious about the offer, which he said would include $500,000 up front plus 10% of all profits. What does that mean?
Not on a magazine?
10% of all the magazine sales? He said any payment that the Orlando woman might receive for interviews with media outlets would be chicken feed compared to what she'd receive by appearing in Hustler. If they want to get their hands on big money, they've got to go through me, Flint said. Larry Flint is serious. And you know the other thing about Larry Flint? Larry Flint is the real deal. And what I mean by that is he's not trying to be something he isn't. The guy is into taking pictures of naked women. He knows that 99.999% of all men don't need to see a nude Crystal Harris. That's not, you know, we'll settle for some of the, pardon me for saying this, some of the more damaged goods that he's had in his magazines. You know, we will. That's the way guys are, and he gets it, you know. If you ever saw that movie, The People versus Larry Flint, it was a terrific movie. And Woody Harrelson played Larry Flint. And in the film, he's talking to the men that are going to start Hustler magazine with him. He's talking to this array of guys that he knows, guys he grew up with, etc. I think one of them is his brother. And he says, look at this. He's reading from Playboy. He says, Playboy, did you guys see the Playboy this month? They go, no. He says, look at this. They're going to show you which BMW to buy. And then they're going to show you the stereo equipment that you want to buy. He said, gentlemen, Playboy is mocking you. And what he meant by that is most of the guys that buy Playboy, A, can't afford any of that crap, don't live that way, don't live that lifestyle, and really don't give a damn. They want to look at the naked women. And so bringing up BMWs and bringing up stereo equipment and bringing up all that jazz is in a way mocking the American man. So Larry Flint turned around and said, I'm going to give the American male what he really wants. And here it is. He gave us Hustler. Now, I don't read Hustler because I don't want to look like I'm, well, I don't want to look like I'm inbred. Now,
Oh, yeah, right, man. You think a Desiree Des inbred?
I'm sorry, I just don't want to look. But frankly, I understand what he's trying to say, and if Casey Anthony were ever to appear naked in the pages of that magazine, I wouldn't buy it. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't buy it, and I wouldn't look at it. I mean that. I'm telling you the honest truth. But I'd want to.
What's that mean?
I'm just saying, you know.
Well, you think you're going to go to heaven for saying that?
No, I don't think I'm going to go to heaven for saying that. I'm just telling you, that's how I'd feel about it. I got to take a break, okay? And I mean, I do got to take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. A Walmart shopper in a bikini top is asked to put on a shirt. She's claiming discrimination. She might sue. But thank you very much, Walmart, for having the good sense to at least ask her to put the shirt on, because she looked frightening in that bikini top. And we'll tell you all about it when we come back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our on Phil TV and HD on our website right now. I've got this United Kingdom Facebook page where they apparently at one point had pictures of 7-year-old girls pole dancing. Now, I don't want to come off. I'm not on any crusade. It just so happens the news these days is full of these stories, and somebody's got to say something. You know, and I don't care who these parents are, and I don't give a damn what reasons they give. You know, there's something wrong with you, Charlie. Something real wrong. Something real wrong with you if you've got your 7-year-old daughter. First of all, if you got a 7-year-old daughter taking a pole dancing class, that's number one. Number two, you got real problems if you think that it's cool or somehow, you know, you should have the right to. What's wrong with you anyway?
What are you talking about, man? I would never. I love what these guys say. To say this, I would never do anything to hurt my daughter. Bull crap.
I don't think you know what would hurt your daughter and what wouldn't hurt your daughter. I don't think you know anything more about that than you do about the meteorological trends of any given season. Why there's an El Nino? What causes a typhoon? I think it's beyond you. Scientifically, humanistically, it's beyond you. So anyway, there's some parents and local elected officials in Northwest England are outraged after a fitness group that offers pole dancing lessons to girls as young as 7-year-olds posted photos of the girls on its Facebook page. The objection to the photo, the photos isn't coming from the parents of the girls, not the parents of the girls pictured. According to the Daily Mail, the studio JNL Pole Fitness only posts photographs online with parental consent. In fact, one mother told the Mail that she had her daughter's 7th birthday at the fitness studio and said she doesn't see anything wrong with pole dancing for kids. It's just like gymnastics and has nothing to do with lap dancing. Maybe, I don't know. But why would you, if there was even a question, why would you involve your daughter in something like that? I don't see pole dancing in the Olympics, do you? Is there any pole dancing? If there's pole dancing in the Olympics, then I take it back. I don't think there is. I don't know of any competitive pole dancing. Not competitive pole dancing to the extent that, you know, anybody is allowed to pole dance, and it's a big, it's a interscholastic event and has nothing to do with a strip club. I don't think you've got to be a brain surgeon to know where pole dancing came from. And I ain't got nothing against an adult doing it. You know, like I said, I'm not on some campaign. Every time I turn around, though, and it makes me personally, it makes me a little sick to my stomach. That's all. Warren Jeffs, that guy's a piece of garbage. And then you got toddlers and tiaras. And then you got that one guy. He had his daughter up there shaking her ass. She's 4 years old doing some ass-shaking dance. And this Jack Ball is sitting there saying, I would never do anything that would hurt my daughter. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. I don't even think you'd know what hurt your daughter until she was dead. That's when you'd know it. That's when I think you'd finally come around to the idea that maybe you did something wrong. I mean, I hate to be judgmental, but I think I will be. How about that? I hate to be judgmental, but I think I'll be judgmental. Anyway, she says they're good exercise. They aren't teaching the children anything erotic. But Christian parenting groups like Mother's Union don't agree that pole dancing, even for fitness, is harmless. A spokesman for Mother's Union told Fox News children are being targeted with an activity that's part of a male club culture. Anyway, more on this garbage later. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Dan Northcraft. Our associate producers, Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. Don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com for podcasts, for the archives, for all of our merchandise, for our news feed, and much, much more. philhendryshow.com. Tonight, it's the KFI show starting at 7 o'clock. You'll see the video cast at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.